And according to a new report from Amnesty International, just 10 countries are hosting more than half of them. The report finds that the world's wealthiest nations are doing little to address the refugee crisis, which is the worst one since World War II. Salil Shetty is the Secretary General of Amnesty International, and he joins me on the line from the BBC in London. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Which countries have taken in the most refugees in this crisis?
The crisis has got two sort of broad elements to it. On the one hand, it's, of course, what we're seeing in the Middle East right now. So Syria is really what's been in the news a great deal. But let's not forget that there are some other long-term conflicts and crises like Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan. So if you think about these 10 countries, they're essentially the countries which are neighbors to the countries in conflict. So as far as the Syrian crisis is concerned, Turkey is by far the largest host for Syrian refugees, but Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, all of these host very large numbers of Syrian refugees. 86% of the Syrian refugees approximately are in these neighboring countries. And then if you look at Sudan, Somalia, then, you know, Kenya is one of the big host countries for the Somalia Sudanese refugees. Mm. Also, if you take Afghanistan, Pakistan would be the single biggest, and Iran as well.
So how do you change that? I mean, how do you incentivize wealthier countries to take in more refugees?
One of the early calls that Amnesty International made is that, you know, this is a global crisis of proportions we've not seen since the Second World War. So it needs a global response. So finally, we had a leaders meeting of the United Nations just a couple of weeks ago. But unfortunately, it was a spectacular failure. There was not a single binding, precise target which came out of that. We need groups of countries who are more willing to come forward and start taking people, you know. So, like, and we've seen this. Canada, for example, has already accepted 25,000 more Syrian refugees. Germany's accepted 1 million. So it's really boils down to a leadership choice. The surveys we've done with the public, you know, it completely busts this myth that the local populations in these rich countries don't want to accept refugees. Like if you take the US, for example, our surveys show that over 70% of the US population do welcome refugees. In fact, 15% are ready to take them into their own houses. So I think it's indicative that, you know, the public is ahead of the leaders.
Although you mentioned Germany, which in Europe has been the country to accept the most refugees from the Syrian conflict. The chancellor there, Angela Merkel, has suffered a real political hit because of that.
She has, and there's no question about it. But, you know, you can't change things overnight. So we need long-term process of educating the population, getting them to hear the facts. Because what happens is that the third or so who are against refugees coming in are very vocal, and they're creating a whole atmosphere of fear, which is totally not based on facts. I mean, one of the things I always tell people is that since I've spent time in these camps, I've not met a single woman, man, or child who's told me from Syria that they would like to come to Europe. It's not a lifestyle choice, you know, to traverse the Mediterranean where thousands of people die through drownings or, you know, most of these European countries have signed on to the 1951 Refugee Convention. So they're simply in violation of that.
When you talk about solutions to this, you say you just need more wealthy countries to be willing to resettle refugees. And you do point to Canada as a country that has been successful in that. They've taken in more than 30,000 Syrians since 2015, compared to the U.S., which has taken in a little over 12,000 Syrian refugees. What is it about Canada's system that works?
The global level, the problem is we don't have a system. You know, right now we have a completely ad hoc process where the neighboring countries simply end up carrying this burden for decades. So our proposal is that instead of 10 countries taking the load, can we share this across 60 to 90 countries on an objective basis, you know, depending on your size of your country, your population, your wealth. But in the case of Canada, it is really a political choice. We've been told that Canadians don't like refugees, they don't want refugees. So what happens suddenly? They suddenly change their mind. That's not true. I mean, it was really Trudeau and, you know, their leadership. And they said that this is what Canadian values are about. And really, you know, the U.S. is another country where it's a country that was created by people coming in from outside. I mean, if you look at what Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty is all about, it's about creating a, you know, a diverse, inclusive country, which has become so powerful because of its diversity. But, you know, in practice, the U.S. is hardly taking anybody.
What about aid, though? The United States, for example, has given more than $5 billion toward the Syrian refugee crisis. That's a lot of money. Is that not making a difference?
So, I mean, absolutely it does. And don't forget again that, you know, a lot of these are pledges, you know, these announcements which come in meetings. You finally look at what the actual money that goes across, it's close to nothing. But the main point I'd make is humanitarian financing, very important as it is not a substitute for resettling people and receiving refugees.
Salil Shetty is the Secretary General of Amnesty International. Thank you so much.
Thank you.